there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek. It is Tuesday, May the 11th, and I'm glad you're here. Pull up a chair. I've got one reserved for you right here. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Today's program is all about hope. This is, well, I am getting so much information right now. I feel the Holy Spirit is giving me so much at once that I'm being a little overloaded. But the one word, if I had to sum up today's show or some other things that I'm possibly working on right now, which is pretty funny because as I come on the air, I'm looking at a series of books on the shelf of the bookcase in front of me, and one of them is entitled Hope. I see the word hope, and I didn't plan this. I planned to talk about hope because I feel that's what I'm supposed to talk about, not just on the show today, but I feel that the entire focus of my ministry anymore, it probably always was, but very concretely in my head, it's all about hope. And I'm here to give you hope. Jesus was all about hope. Jesus came to earth to give us hope, the hope of a great life, not just here, but for all eternity. He's all about hope, to free us from sin, to lift the burden of anxiety from us, and to give us the concrete belief. Now, we're not talking about hope that is just wishful thinking or crossing our fingers or, you know, being a Philly sports fan. I hope the Phillies win the World Series this year. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about. We are talking about a certainty that things, if we follow Christ, things will turn out for the best. It doesn't mean you don't have suffering in life, because sometimes that suffering is what's best. But things will turn out for the best, and you will be able to live with him in total happiness forever in heaven. That's what hope is all about. You know, hope gets you out of bed in the morning. And I think that more and more people are falling into hopelessness and even despair. You know, they just give up. This is never going to get better. This will never change. Life is nothing but misery. That's the belief, but it's not true. Because with Christ, there is hope. So we will talk about hope on the program today. And it's funny, if you had any idea how unprepared I was when I started this show. And it's not, look, this didn't catch me by surprise. I record the show when I want, and then I load it up. So it's not like I'm on a time schedule. I'm not. But I just had so, I was being bombarded in so many different directions with this message of hope. Some new projects that might be coming up. The word just, I'm just seeing the word. Somebody I talked to last week in terms of speaking, coming in to speak, they're inviting me to come in and speak, and they mentioned the theme of hope. I'm hearing it all over the place. My spiritual director talked about hope. So I just felt, okay, it's time to start the show, even though I didn't know exactly what I was going to be saying, but today I just know we are supposed to be talking about hope. So I am glad you're here. If you are feeling hopeless, or if you're just discouraged, or if you're feeling blah, whatever it is today, hang out with me for the remainder of the show, and I just have a good feeling that you're going to feel better by the time we are done, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show up. Holy Spirit goes where he's invited, so I'm going to invite him in today. I'm going to invite him to inspire us all, to speak through me, to inspire you as well, and I really believe that it's going to happen. So settle in. Let's get ready to pray. Before we do, I'm going to take a sip of my water. So yesterday on the show, I had sweet tea, which is a bit of a change for me. It was really good, but today I'm just back to water. So that works too. I hope you have a beverage. Hope you have a snack. But I hope you're ready to pray right now. Now here's something I want to talk about before we actually pray. And I've done this before with you, but I really feel the need to do it today. Oftentimes, our prayers can become routine. Right? We know the certain formal or vocal prayers. We know them by heart. We can often just lapse into them and our minds just sort of take off. You know, we're in cruise control, we're in autopilot, whatever you want to call it. But if we would give the Holy Spirit a little chance to work, and we would make a conscious effort to recognize that we are speaking to Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Then all of a sudden our words will change. And really, it's hard for you and I to do that on our own because we are distracted and we can't see God. So it's very easy to just fall into that habit of blindly going through your prayers. And even when I'm not using pre-written prayers, even when I'm praying extemporaneously like I do at the beginning of this show, I can get into that mode too. I can just start going in autopilot. But I'm going to really try to focus today. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. We are about to address Almighty God. I mean, He's God. He's the God that you read about throughout the Old Testament. He's the God who sent His Son Jesus into the world, and Jesus said, if you have seen me, if you encountered me, if you have experienced me, you have seen the Father. So throughout the Old and the New Testament, we see God very present. It's the same God that we're about to talk to now. And He loves each of us as if we were the only people who existed, and we can address Him as Father. So that is an incredible privilege. So as we pray, I'm going to talk to the Holy Spirit briefly and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray better. All right, let's begin and just follow me, okay? You with me? All right, let's do it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we're going to speak to you in a minute, but in order to better understand, better comprehend what is going on with you, and understand who you are, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please guide my thoughts and my words as I pray. And help us all to better appreciate the presence of our Heavenly Father right now. Please make Him very real to us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Father, as I come before you in prayer, I realize that I am so unworthy, but yet at the same time, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you are willing to hear what I have to say. I'm so grateful that you like us. You don't just love us, but you like us. You enjoy being with us. And as someone who often feels unlikable, that's really, really an amazing thing. And we're very grateful for that. So, Father, we are grateful to be in your presence. We recognize you are all-powerful. We recognize you are all-loving. We recognize that nothing can happen in our lives without your approval. And therefore, we understand that even if something appears unpleasant, we realize that you are allowing it to happen because if it was not something in your control, then you wouldn't be all powerful. So because you're all powerful, we know that if something happens in our lives, you are allowing it to happen. And therefore, Father, if you are allowing it to happen, since you love us, we know that it is only beneficial in some way. Otherwise, you would stop it from happening. So we appreciate, Father, your control over our lives, and I don't mean control in a bad way, I mean it in a good way, your protection, your providence over our lives today. And Father, we thank you for loving us into existence, for creating us. And thank you for sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts, our words, and our actions. To make you real to us, to understand your love. All of that's attributable to the Holy Spirit, and we thank the Holy Spirit for that. And Father, we ask that you provide us with our needs this day, whatever it is that we need. Grant us the grace we need also to overcome the temptation of sin. Father, we entrust ourselves and our loved ones and our friends into your hands. We surrender to your will this day, just as Jesus did. And I ask you, Father, to use me as your instrument on this program. Please guide my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver your message. I pray, Father, that you open up all of our hearts and our minds so that we're willing to hear your message and put it into practice. Above all, Father, fill us with hope this day. Hope to move forward with confidence, knowing that we're under the protection of a God who loves and cares for us. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, listen, thanks for praying with me. I'm excited about this theme. You know, some days I just feel it. I mean, honestly, I feel it more than others. I really happen to feel this today, and I feel that you need to hear this message. You need to hear this message about hope today. So that's therefore I'm going to deliver it. We're going to really anchor it on some of the words of a Bible verse from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And then we'll just see where the Spirit leads. But anyway, my name is Gary Zimek. You're listening to Following the Truth. So glad to have you with me. I want to remind you that if you would like to find out more about my work or possibly invite me to speak at your parish, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And I would love to come and speak and share my message with your fellow parishioners at your parish, at your conference, whatever. Just reach out to me through the website and we can discuss it, okay? And by the way, if you have not already signed up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that free of charge by going to followingthetruth.com as well. All right, let's talk about hope now. Hope's a great thing. You know, hope gets you out of bed in the morning. And there are many evangelists in the world today who are preaching a message of hope. Now, in all fairness, some of them give us false hope. A lot of their messages start out really good, meaning that God is all-powerful, God can fix your problems, which he can. I mean, if you don't believe that, then you're never going to be at peace. When you are praying, when you have a particular need in your life, you need hope that that can turn around. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable. But by turn around, that doesn't always mean that you're going to receive a financial blessing. It doesn't mean the disease will be cured. It doesn't mean your suffering, your external suffering, will go away, because we can't say that for sure. And, you know, sometimes some, I believe, well-meaning individuals take the message of hope too far, to where it becomes an idea of almost a manipulation of God. Well, if your faith is strong enough, then you will be healed of this disease. Well, certainly the Lord can heal us physically. He could perform miracles. I have no doubt about that. But sometimes he chooses to heal in a different way, or he lets the whatever it is, whatever condition it is, remain, only for the reason that that is how he can bring a greater good about for us. So we can't, we always have to be open, because we want to follow the example of Jesus. And I think one of the greatest examples we will ever see, where his human will was at the moment different than the will of the Father, was in the agony in the garden on the night before he died. And look, this is something that's a very troubling event in the life of our Lord, when he said, "Father, please take this suffering that I'm about to face away. But because I know you can do it," and depending on which evangelist's account you look at of the agony in the garden, different things were said. But the overall message is the same. The words of Jesus, "Father, take this away, but not as I will, but your will be done." That's how we need to live our lives. That's how Jesus wants us to live our lives. But obviously, there was, I mean, we could sugarcoat this all we want, but it's not going to change the reality. Look at the words of Jesus. He was troubled at the moment by what was about to happen, and he was praying for relief. I mean, again, you got to read it if you don't believe me. And at that moment in time, his will was different than the will of the Father. Now, because, you know, in his humanity, he can allow himself to become really, truly, and fully human, which he did. And he experienced that aversion to death that we all have in suffering. But ultimately, love is not about a feeling. Love is about a choice. And his choice was, Father, I love you. Your will be done. And out of love for the Father and out of love for you and me, he went ahead, even though he was suffering, with the mission. You know, and the mission was to die on the cross. So if my will is different than God's will, if he allows me to be sickened with cancer, and I don't want that, and I say, Father, please, I really don't want this. I just don't want this suffering. It's, please take it away. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a very honest expression of how you're feeling. But when you tack on to that, but not my will, but your will be done, Father, that becomes a powerful expression of love. And the more you don't want to experience suffering, the more painful it is for you, and you turn to the Father and say, but you know what, Father? It doesn't matter about me. What matters is your will be done. Then the more powerful your expression of love is for him. You know, a little bit of suffering. I mean, you're going through a traffic jam. You say, Father, you know, I don't really like this. This traffic's slow. It's annoying me. But you know what? I'm going to offer it up. Please let it clear out. But not my will, but your will be done. That's one thing. I mean, that's still an expression of love and offering up your suffering. That's a really good thing. And surrendering to the will of God. But if you are stricken with terminal cancer and you're in a lot of pain, and you're praying, Father, please take this suffering away from me, this horrible suffering. And, you know, you could barely get the words out. But you say, but not my will, Father, but ultimately your will be done. That's an even more powerful expression of love. You know, the greater your suffering, the greater the love that you can display or give to God by offering it up or by surrendering to his will, you know? But that's what Jesus did. But anyway, we're talking about hope today. I'm not really sure how I got off on that tangent, but hope is, oh, I know what I was saying. I was talking about hope and we need hope. And you do need hope. You need hope. If you didn't have hope, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. So we need hope to believe that things will get better. And I think that's a really fair statement. Things will get better. Maybe not in this life. Maybe not externally, but things will get better when we turn to God and ask for help, right? So even if the disease doesn't go away, even if the suffering remains, he can still give you the peace that allows you to deal with it. So things will get better, and that's where our hope lies when we turn to the Lord. Romans 12:12 is the verse that I want to base this on. St. Paul's words, rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. All right, so rejoicing is, obviously if he's saying rejoice, this is more than a feeling. St. Paul's not just saying be happy. St. Paul is saying rejoice. We can choose to rejoice even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of all kinds of storms in our lives. Rejoice, why? Rejoice in your hope. The hope that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with you, is working in your life, and is more powerful than any problem you could ever have. That's why we choose to rejoice. We're not rejoicing because it's sunny outside. We're not rejoicing because we just hit the lottery. We're not rejoicing because we just had a good dinner. We are rejoicing, St. Paul is telling us, to rejoice, to choose to rejoice. It's a choice. Rejoice, why? In your hope, in the hope that things will turn out for the best. Because you got a Father, you got an all-powerful Father who loves you. So rejoice in your hope, and therefore because you rejoice in your hope, you can be patient in tribulation. Why? Because you know that God's at work, because he loves you. You know, if you're asking for God to help you, and things don't appear to be getting better externally, you can still rejoice because of his presence in your life. And you know by faith that he hears you and he wants what's best for you. Be patient in tribulation. And I think the last phrase, this is a three-part verse. Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. I think that last phrase really sums up how everything else is going to come about. If you are praying on a regular basis, constant in prayer, I mean, that means praying regularly throughout the day. You can be sending up little prayers throughout the day. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I surrender. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Whatever you want, Lord, help me. These little prayers throughout the day, they're going to bear fruit. And I'm positive of that. I don't know exactly the fruit that they will bear. I can't say you pray that enough. You're going to get that job that you've been praying for. You'll get that job when it's right for you, if it's right for you, and at the right time that it's right for you. And, you know, that's the mindset that we have to have. That's a very, I think, a realistic and fair mindset. And it's not a cop-out. Sometimes we think, well, if I say, well, if I offer up a prayer, Lord, please let me get this job that I applied for, but only if it's according to your will. You could think that's a cop-out by putting that, if it's according to your will at the end, then if you don't get it, you can say, well, I guess it wasn't according to his will. Well, that's legitimate. You know, it really depends on the disposition of your heart. Yes, if you're praying because you don't have faith in God to come through, and you put that little disclaimer on the end, if it's not your will, then I don't want it. And your intent is to really play it safe when it comes to prayer. That way you can say, well, he answered either way. That's one thing. But on the other hand, if you are praying, Lord, I only want this if it's your will, that's a great expression of love and submission to God. You know, so it really depends where your heart is when you pray. I think the first thing when you're faced with any situation in life, even something, especially something that requires a miracle, is do you believe God can do this? And I think we all need to concentrate more on the fact, and the Holy Spirit can help with this, that God can do all things. So a cancer diagnosis, no problem. Being out of work for an extended period of time, no problem. God can handle this. Relationship issues, yep, God can handle it. Restoring marriages, yep. Freeing us from addictions, yep, he can do it. The first step is to believe that he can do it. The next step is to take it to prayer, being specific. You know, I'm a big believer in asking big. Ask for what you need. Even if it seems impossible, especially if it seems impossible. And then you imitate Jesus and put on the end of your prayer. However, not my will, but your will be done. And if you pray believing that the Lord can do this, but at the same time praying that I only want this if it's your will, Father, that's a prayer that really pleases God and that's going to bear all kinds of good fruit. Okay? So, I mean, that's the message today. Rejoice in your hope. There's hope. I don't care what you're going through right now. I don't care how down you are. I don't care what kind of sin you feel can't be overcome in your life. I don't care what the medical condition is. There's hope. And I'm going to pray right now that you believe that. Through the intercession of, through the working, I should say the working of the Holy Spirit in your soul right now, I pray that you can suddenly be overwhelmingly convinced that the Lord can handle whatever it is that you need right now. And I think that's the biggest obstacle for many, many of our, that causes us many, much grief in terms of our relationship with the Lord. We don't believe he can do it. And you know, you can only convince yourself so much. That's why you need that divine help provided by the Holy Spirit to, number one, make God real to you. And number two, to convince you of his power. And then you can pray with confidence. Father, if it be your will, please take this away. You know, you got to believe in him first, but ask the Holy Spirit to help you to believe more strongly in his power and his love for you. And then everything falls into place. Then you're dealing with a matter of, okay, I really want this. And I believe, Father, you can do this. However, Don't give it to me if it's not your will. You know, God loves prayers like that because we're totally obedient to his will, which is exactly what Jesus did. And if you don't think you can pray like that, you can. I guarantee you can. One of the functions or the roles of the Holy Spirit is to transform us into the image of Jesus. And that's how Jesus prayed. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, as weak as we may be, we can pray in the same way that Jesus prayed. Father, not my will, but your will be done. So I encourage you to pray like that, and whatever you're facing, to not lose hope. Keep praying for what you need. Let God work out the details. Your job is to pray and be obedient. His job is to be God. And I know that sounds silly, but we get ourselves into such trouble when we forget that basic truth. All righty. Hey, if you're up early tomorrow, Wednesday at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, you can catch my weekly segment on the Sunrise Morning Show, Give Up Worry for Good. Hope you'll be able to tune in. That's on EWTN Radio, so if you're able to tune into that, I'd love to have you. In the meantime, I want you to know I am praying for you. Would you please pray for me as well? I really could use it. God willing, I plan to be back with you here tomorrow on Following the Truth, so I look forward to joining you on the program once again. If you need anything, please just shoot me an email at Gary@followingthetruth.com, Gary@followingthetruth.com. And, you know, I'm just going to put this out there because I feel the Spirit laying this on my heart. I am looking for one new subscriber, monthly subscriber, to help me on a monthly basis with my ministry. So if you'd like to support my work financially, become a monthly subscriber to Following the Truth. If you want to be that one person, I'm just shooting for one today. That's all I want. I mean, I'll take more, but I'm just, Holy Spirit saying there's one person out there who might be on the fence, who might be able to help me, that I'm going to ask. If you feel in your heart that you'd like to help my work, please visit followingthetruth.com and click on donate. I can really use your help financially. Okay, have a wonderful night. God bless you. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on Following the Truth. Bye-bye.